Home Slice Audio.
It's getting better. It's not, again, it's not going to be my favorite.
And Keep drinking it.
I'm not going to buy another bottle.
You'll have three more glasses and then you're going to need another bottle.
Great.
Hey, everybody.
It just keeps getting weirder in here.
How are you?
Well, I don't
know. How are you? Did you have a good week last week, Rob? You did have a good week last week, because last week...
Yeah, I got lucky.
Now, every once in a while, we have one of our favorite people in the building that's sitting in with us here.
That's so kind.
That doesn't have to do anything at all.
I told him earlier that I got him out of the side of my eye, and I thought he was Scout.
What? Out of the hair.
They were in a cut. He has a cap on. And
oh, that's true.
She does wear a baseball cap a lot.
He had his locks draped over the back of the chair in the conference room, so that's all I saw. And I thought, hey, Scout's not sick anymore. She came to work. And then I went looking for Russ. And he was, I'm like, I just saw him. I'm like, oh, there he is.
No, Russ.
He was pretending to be Scout.
Russ is our videographer. Russ, for a long time, has filmed our dumb episodes when we used to do that.
Yeah, which I want to go do again someday.
I do too. We just got busy though. We're trying to make money. And this podcast doesn't make us a dime.
No, but it makes you happy.
It does. Totally does.
Well, until right now.
So I'm glad you got to sit down here and drink with us a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to drink whatever this is.
Because I saw you take a drink and then I saw your face, and I wasn't sure if you still liked it.
Well, fill me in. What are we drinking?
We're gonna get to that coming up.
Sorry.
Okay. No, that's all right. No, don't. You can be pushy. That's fine.
We're gonna have to drink a little more of this to make this episode bearable. I suspect.
Look, we all took that first sip and our palates have been open now. Okay.
Right.
So now the next one's gonna be even better.
Why do they put it in a Patron bottle?
Oh.
Is that a true Patron bottle, you
know? I don't know.
I mean, it's similarly shaped to a Patron bottle.
Eerily similar.
Okay, what we're drinking is a bourbon called the End of Days Bourbon. This is from a distillery in North Carolina. Okay, we'll just, that's, so everybody knows what we're drinking. This is what it is. This was the first legally produced bourbon in North Carolina, in Wilmington, since Prohibition.
That's interesting. Are there any other whiskeys that come out of North Carolina? Maybe they should have waited a little longer.
Okay. Rob's going to give his critique here in a little bit. All right. Did you see, and I've got my mother-in-law on this right now.
Oh, God. Okay? What sort of flavor crap is out there now?
The second whiskey under the Outsider Spirits label is about to come out. Eric Church. He's releasing... The Gypsy Explorer.
I saw somebody on Dakota Whiskey Territory posted something about it.
Did they? They didn't have a bottle of it, did they?
I don't think so. I think it was a picture of the thing.
Okay. Yeah. The first one we did, I think you still have here. Did you take that home?
I think you bought it.
No, the company paid for that because it was $200 a bottle, remember?
Then it's got to
be. It's probably going to still be here.
If the company paid for it, it's got to be here somewhere. Okay. Unless we drank it all.
No, I don't think we did. That was the first bottle that Eric Church and the Raj Alva, I believe is his name. He's an entrepreneur that Eric works with that put this bottle out.
I'll take your word for it.
Here's what makes this good, okay? So the first bottle was $200. This is bottled at 103 proof, so I think it'll make a lot of bourbon drinkers pretty happy getting over that.
Was the last one just a...
No, I think it was over 100, too. Well, it was pretty hot. It's got 66% corn, 30% rye, 4% malted barley, but this bottle is only going to be $70.
Well, that's better.
Which I think that's smart.
Well, yeah, they've already milked everybody for their... They're like, well, you know... It was $200. Maybe it wasn't worth that, but now that we have enough to get some starter money.
But that's your first release, though, right? I mean, so that's, you know, and you got Eric Church's name on it, and he did a good job with Jack Daniels.
Well, it's because Jack Daniels made that. This dude's making this one. I don't know. That Eric Church Jack was good, but I wouldn't have paid $200 for it. Well, I'm
yeah, you would have.
Did he sign the bottles?
No, but he should.
Oh.
He absolutely should.
So it's just $200.
Yeah, just $200 out the door.
Okay.
Because it was made by Eric Church.
Maybe they weren't expecting anybody to actually open it. Because it's an Eric Church
one-of-a-kind limited edition. The guy is a 10-time Grammy nominee.
Yeah, he's got
right?
that one song, well, like Cold sure. as Ice or whatever.
That's Foreigner.
You know, how many Grammys does Jack Daniels have? None.
No, because he doesn't have any.
He spends his time making whiskey.
Because according to Nelson.
Eric should just spend his time writing songs.
Stay in your lane, Eric.
Nelson Eddy, who we had on the last podcast,
yeah.
I believe he said that Jack Daniels was not a good singer. I don't know. Was that in the podcast? I don't remember. We had a great conversation with him, though. I don't remember if that was brought up.
He was so small, he was probably very high-pitched.
Well, it was a falsetto, for sure.
How small are you talking?
Jack Daniels was only about 5'2".
So like Tom Cruise height, that's cool.
It's like Jordan height.
Well, now people are going to think we're talking about Michael Jordan,
no,
and that's not the Jordan
not
we're talking
Michael
about.
Michael Jordan.
Other news coming out, Maker's Mark Distillery. For the first time since their founding more than 60 years ago, is going to come out with a rye mash bill. Maker's Mark Bourbon breaks a precedent of more than a half a century. The way you'll be able to distinguish whether or not it's the rye from the normal is they're going to have a green wax atop the
Ooh.
Bottle.
So that's now you're cool. Gonna
besides the flavor.
That's super cool.
And besides the flavor, yeah.
Always so, like the wax top. Looks good.
I think rye is having its moment right now. I think it's becoming the next big thing within bourbon because the ryes we've been able to have recently have not tasted like ryes. They've been really good.
Well,
right?
My wife leans that way for sure. I mean, there's a few of them out there that I've enjoyed, but the vast majority of them are still pretty iffy.
Well, I was reading today too, that there's becoming a bigger market for it in Europe now. They're clamoring for more of the rye.
Are they trying to get that Scotch taste out of their mouth,
no,
too?
No, they are not. God, man.
Do they have a lot of ryes over there, or is
no,
it kind of something that
no,
they...
No, it's...
That's
rye,
why they want it.
Rye is a very American whiskey, right?
Mm. Well, Canadian.
And Canadian, for sure, yeah. The Americas, Rob, okay? This whole thing is
well,
the Americas.
When you say America, everybody thinks America. When you say the Americas, that's bloody different.
So you want to talk about Scotch? That's what I was taking from this? Good.
No.
Let's do that.
I'd rather have Scotch than this, maybe.
Did
though.
You see the Macallan has released its latest five-figure bottle?
Oh, for God's
five
sake.
Five figures?
Five figures. It's called the Macallan Horizon. They partnered with Bentley, the automaker.
Does it come with a Bentley?
Doesn't come with an age statement, nor a Bentley.
Macallan doesn't do much on age statements, though, do they?
No. I don't think they ever do.
Yeah, we had the Macallan. I mean, they do.
In that sense,
yeah,
right.
But when it comes to this little specialty, you know, the whatever you have in your office, there isn't a number on there.
No, not the rare cask or some of those others. 46.6%, $50,000.
Well,
$50,000. The bottle. Is really cool.
Does it look like one of them Avon perfume dispensers from the 70s?
No, but they modeled it. I mean,
model it after a Bentley?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, that's
they did,
cool.
Of course.
Well,
obviously. But it's very, it is. It's just, it's beautiful. And if I won the, what is the, up to $1 billion again, over $1 billion for the Powerball?
Wow.
I would buy each
ticket.
Of you a bottle of those.
Really?
A bottle of this. Yeah, I would.
That's very kind of you.
Yep. I would take the first drink out of yours, of course, but I would definitely buy you the bottle.
Well, seems like that's the least you could do. You could just take it straight from the bottle at that point.
Right. And speaking of really expensive, Woodford is releasing its thrice-barreled derby-themed whiskey that's 15 grand for a Woodford.
We have lost our ever-loving minds when it comes to this stuff. What in God's name?
Because rich people will buy it. We're in marketing, Rob, and we understand this better than anybody.
Good
right?
Lord, though.
When you price certain things to a certain group of people, you will sell those things. And that's exactly what whiskey and bourbon is doing right now. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's I don't know. I think this is where we're about to jump the shark with bourbon, which will be good because I think a lot of these prices are going to start to come down.
Well, I hope so.
When I was in,
what is special about this $15,000 bottle?
It's thrice barreled. It's the word thrice that makes it 15 grand.
I don't like that word. I don't know why, but I just don't like it.
Thrice.
It's just three times, well, right?
Right. Yeah, it's so close
it's
to
been
moist.
Three times.
I think that's why.
Thrice is close to moist?
Sure. St at the end.
There's no st at the end of thrice.
Thrice moist.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jesus.
When I was in Minneapolis here over this past weekend,
yeah, when are you going back?
I went into a couple of liquor stores, and again, the Henry McKenna Bottled and Bond was everywhere up there.
Did you buy any?
No, because it's now $68 a bottle.
Oh,
when I bought it back in September, it was $44.
Right.
Now it's up to 68, almost 70, and I can't for the life of me figure out why. Just no clue.
Yeah.
Demand, maybe it is.
Except if it's the pictures that you had, there was stacks of it there.
Right. Yeah. And there still was the whole time I was there. It was just crazy how much it was from back in September.
They're helping the kids.
You guys a fan of Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, a little
Sometimes.
Bit.
Like
he made a comeback, right? He just got over an injury.
Well, he had some illness, didn't he? Wasn't discussed very much.
Yeah, nobody really discussed it, but I think he's back on the mend. I think he's back to normal.
Well, he is because...
There's another celebrity endorsed something.
His brown sugar bourbon-flavored whiskey announced a major change on Tuesday.
They were actually going to turn it into whiskey?
It's being replaced with brown sugar blend whiskey, which is a 70-proof flavored whiskey with brown sugar and cinnamon.
Ooh.
And brand new packaging. You want to know how much this is going for?
$17.
You're not far off. $25. That's all it is. $25 for this one.
That might be good to do in the wintertime, you know, with like a hot chocolate or something.
Brown sugar, cinnamon, and a hot chocolate?
Yeah.
There you go, Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
He was best on In Living Color. That's the best he's ever been.
You didn't like him all bulked up in the action movies?
I didn't really care for him in the action movies, but In Living Color, I loved him. Because didn't he play, did you watch In Living Color ever?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, because it was over a long time ago.
Yeah.
They quit making it a fairly long time ago.
Oh, he was so funny on that show. He was
good in Ray. He's a talented dude.
Oh, I forgot about Ray. Yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
He's got a lot of good ones under his belt for sure.
Well, now we got to go get the brown sugar blend whiskey.
Sounds good.
Keep your mother-in-law on the lookout for that.
This will be out here. This is $25. Somebody out here is going to have it. This is going to be hard to find. All right. Okay, coming up, let's talk about what we're drinking. Because I know you guys so far, like, have you polished it off yet?
I took another drink.
Look at that. All right, that's on the way.
0-2.
Hi, I'm Mark Houston, the host of Doc Talk with Monument Health.
I tell people every organ in your body that has a blood vessel is affected by cardiovascular disease, by definition.
The average prostate in a young man in his 20s is about the size of a walnut, and it can grow to the size of a softball.
He always tells the patient when we're together, he's like, I'm the kind of doctor that you want to see so you don't see my wife. So I really don't want our path to cross in the clinic.
Doc Talk from Monument Health. Wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. It's Whiskey at Work. It's Rob and Mark. Joining us is our buddy Russ, who will always be a part of the Whiskey at Work family. Russ, you're
honored.
You're grandfathered into this because you have on occasion made us look good and on occasion made us look like idiots.
Well,
you've done both.
We usually do the making ourselves idiots and he just multiplies it.
I just enhance it.
Enhance.
Right. So we've been talking about a little news earlier, and we always try to come into the second half with what we're drinking today.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get the impression
that maybe
these craft distilleries need to be around for a couple decades before the stuff they make starts turning out well.
Well, how long's Wyoming whiskey been around? Their first batch, and admittedly, they'll even tell you that it wasn't great.
Right. It wasn't.
Now it's pretty good.
It is really good whiskey.
Who bought them? Do you remember? I was having this conversation.
Yeah, it was the same people that owned the Macallan. It's that same.
Oh, okay.
Who is that? Renault Picard or not Diageo?
For some reason, I thought it was Suntory, but.
No. It's whoever owns the Macallan now owns Wyoming whiskey. But I get. I'll go to different places that I've traveled, and I like to go into their liquor stores and ask about their local distilleries, their local stuff. Started off, I think the first one we ever brought back, I brought back something from Minnesota, mm-hmm. I think. And I don't think, honestly, there's ever been one where you and I have said, yeah, let's go get another bottle
of that. They're on the right path.
Right. The only one that's come close, I think, so far has been the Fry Ranch. It's Fry?
Yeah.
Fry Ranch.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was good, but I think they've been around a minute, haven't they?
Not a ton. Not a ton, but as long as a lot of these, I think. And it was good. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I think when I'm finally done with that bottle, I'm going to be kind of sad. But I would agree with that. From Monte. Well, I'm but sorry. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Becoming more
Wait
available,
a
though. No.
Wait a minute.
What?
Crooked Furrow. Hold on.
Crooked Furrow.
Crooked Furrow was fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is true. God, it's been so long since we talked to those guys.
Yeah.
I forget about them.
Right. They.
I miss them.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if they miss us.
Maybe you just put the rest of that down, Rob, because this is getting super uncomfortable at this point.
Well, no, I got masters
just dreaming away.
I'm going to have to get through this to
move on
to the next one.
Yeah, I take another drink of this, and it's sharp right away.
So Crooked Furrow, Fry Ranch, those are a couple I think that we've enjoyed. We've had some from Montana. We've had some from, I've got, what else was I?
Oh, we had Iowa.
The Iowa, the Cedar Ridge. We've tried them from almost any state we could get our hands on.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
So what we're drinking now is a distillery that's in Wilmington, North Carolina. This is called End of Days. It's in an old airplane hangar. I know the jokes are going to come to you. You got to fight through them right now, okay?
Well, just the premise of it. Come on, man.
The distillery is, it was my wife who was down there a few weeks ago, and she found this bottle. They went and toured the distillery. They said it was very cool because it's in an old airplane hangar. It's in like an old, yeah. They said so it was beautiful in there. Really cool with what they're doing.
And your father-in-law being in the Air Force.
Yes.
Very fitting.
Exactly. So she said, let me bring you back a bottle. I said, of course, please, let's do this. I read just a little bit about it, not too much. This is the End of Days Survivor's Cut series.
Batch three.
Mm. The mash bill on this is 68% corn, 22% two-row barley. I don't know what that means. And 10% rye. New American oak, number 3 char.
Wow.
So, reading that, sounds like it might be all right.
Did you read the part on the website where it talks about they made this series because of what we all suffered through during the pandemic?
Yes. The survivors. We're the survivors. So we get a drink this.
What's evaporated is the angel share. What's absorbed into the wood is the devil's cut, and the rest is for the survivors. Shut up.
Listen. Hold on a sec, Rob. Hold on.
If this is the end of days, drink something better than this.
Wow. I mean, one of my favorite things when it comes to these craft whiskey distiller websites is the stories they make up about their whiskey. I love it.
I get it, but that was...
As much BS as it is.
I mean, like, nobody wants to remember that.
That's true. Nobody wants to remember that at
like,
all.
No. We've suffered through it, and granted, some people more than others, because, we just turned it off in South Dakota after about 3 weeks and said the hell with it. But no one, quit bringing it up. Let's just, let's bygones.
Let's move
be
on.
Bygones.
Get
yeah.
It. Okay.
Come on, man.
So that's the story they have on their website about this. And again, I don't want to totally badmouth any distillery.
No, I don't either. But
because
this needs a little work.
They're all trying, right? They're trying very hard. I get it.
They're making better whiskey than me. How's
there.
That?
That's a good way to put it. Sure. When you first pour this. The nose of it right away took me back to the couple times I've stood around a feed corn silo and inhaled that aroma of that dusty, sweet corn smell.
All right. How about, I know this isn't your deal, but it's almost like the spent grain outside of a brewery.
That's pretty accurate, too. That's not
if you've
a
ever
bad description.
One of the lost cabins or one of the breweries in town.
Yes, there is that yeasty
where they have the you know, like a black plastic tub full of stuff that they just got done using that, you know, some farmer's going to pick up to feed his cattle. That's what this smells like.
And it's not like that's really an unpleasant smell either. You're kind of like,
you don't want to stick a spoon in it.
No, of course not. It's a decent dark. I mean, that number three char doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that a number three char got that dark, really.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
It's got a nice amber color to it. It's not overly dark.
The presentation is there all across the board for me. I like it. I like the bottle and I like how it looks.
Right. The bottle is, yeah, very cool. Like I said, it's a Patron-ish bottle. It's got a giant mouth on it. Some will say that's. Is it the Houston bottle?
Referred to as the Mark Houston okay, bottle.
Whatever. I like the cork. I like the way, I mean, I like
it's
that
like
whole design.
It's like a
little
stubby cork.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be long. Never mind.
All right. And then on first taste, it's only 92 proof, which is, again, that's my wheelhouse. About 90 to 95 is what I really like. I didn't hate it when it first hit my tongue, but then something you talked about a while back where you did that thing where you swallowed it.
I think that might have been an accident.
Well, it was, but I've read that is a good way to taste bourbon. You act like you're blowing out cigarette smoke out of your nose.
Oh.
After you kind of swallow it.
That might dragon's make, breath, as they
yeah,
call it.
Sort of, right.
That might make this better.
Well, try it because there's, and again, I'm not saying it's unpleasant, but it's a very unique taste.
It's got a young flavor to it. Like it could have used a little more time in the barrel and it might benefit from a little water or a cube or
I do think
yeah,
something.
I do think ice would help. I think that would work really well. And also the longer that it's in my glass, the easier it is to smell.
Yeah,
I wonder if we should have tried to aerate it with one of them little deals.
Oh, that wouldn't have been a bad idea.
Yeah, because it's mellowed out since I've been sitting here for sure.
Well, and honestly, the
gets
more
a little of that bloom off of it,
the more I'm drinking it, the more it's getting better. It's not again. It's not going to be my favorite.
And keep drinking.
I'm not going to buy another bottle.
You have three more glasses, and you're going to need another bottle.
Great.
But it is getting better, and I like those flavors that I'm getting out of because they're it's really unique. It's really,
it's just sharp. Like it's.
It's a young.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think there's a year on it, but
no, there isn't. I think it's just over three.
Do you have any idea?
I believe is what they said.
Your wife paid for it.
No clue. But too much, I'm sure, because it's a craft distillery.
It's a craft distillery. Yeah, so probably. Right. It's got nice legs on it, though. I mean, you can see it in the glass. It hangs around for a while.
It's mm-hmm. yeah.
And it burns really nicely in the throat.
Is that a good thing?
Yes and no.
Right here, just get stuck.
Well, I don't think we want that. But people do like that lingering warmth that comes from a lot of bourbon. And for a 92 proof, it's warmer than, but I think that maybe.
That comes from the youth.
That maybe does come from how young it is.
From
bit,
the
yeah.
two utes.
Yep, exactly. End of Days, Survivor's Cut Series, Bourbon Whiskey from.
I'm going to stop short of writing them off entirely.
Sure.
And I would like to try some of their other flavors or their other barrels or whatever, but
like the one and two, because that one came in at over 100 and some proof, the first one they did of this.
Yeah, this one just needs a little love, I think.
And then they've knocked it down, but yeah, I mean, again, interesting.
Sorry for my very harsh critique.
That's fine. I think these guys haven't been around really that long, so you know, 10 years, let's see what happens and see where they end up for sure.
Spin that bottle around.
What are you looking
at? Look at the inside of the label from through the bottle. That's kind of neat.
Oh, yeah. Look at there.
I was trying to figure out if that was just a shadow or something.
No, it isn't. It's around. Yeah, it's like fields on the label
that's
on the
cool.
other side of it.
Well,
it is kind of cool.
It's all locally sourced corn anyway. Red, white,
right.
Yellow and blue corn, I think they said on the deal.
That's cool.
So that's, I mean, that not knowing anything about corn per se. I wonder how those different strains of corn.
You grew up in Western South Dakota, Rob. How do you not know just something about corn?
Well, I don't know. Do you know how blue corn tastes different than yellow corn?
Sure. Maybe I do. I don't know. You just made it sound like you know nothing about corn.
I don't know the difference in the flavor between the three varieties of corn I just belt it out. Okay. At four.
Well, haven't you ever had like a blue tortilla chip?
Well, yeah.
Corn tortilla chip?
Sure.
Doesn't that taste different than a regular
corn
tortilla chip? Yes, yes, it does. They totally taste different.
Okay.
You can taste it.
Fine.
Let's go get some tortilla chips.
I'm hungry.
What are you guys doing right now?
Yeah, well, you're not gonna have to tell me twice, buddy.
Margarita and salsa.
Sure,
let's go. Mexican joints, I'm all in.
Well,
60 degrees out. We should be having a margarita.
We should. Some of the one quick bit of cool news, Rob. You got yourself a bottle of the Jack 10 and 12, the latest. The brand newest ones.
Batch 3 of the 10 and the batch 2 of the 12, yeah.
And then you made this offhand comment about, whoa, I should bring it in and try it. So I guess I know what we're doing next week.
Well, how do you want to do it? Do you want to just try them side by side, or do you want to try the 10s and then the 12s, or how do you want to do? They were good. I opened them Saturday, and they were awesome.
You know, here, let's break this up. Next week, let's bring in your 10s.
Okay.
Or I have a 10. I have the 10 batch 1.
First one.
Yeah.
You probably have more left in your 10 batch.
Probably a little bit more. So we can bring that in. Let's try all three of those together and see what we've come up with. Russ, you're more than welcome back anytime when you're not busy.
Sure, buddy.
You're fun to drink with.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. And
I don't know a lot about corn or about whiskey, but I'm happy to be here.
And you're from Wyoming. How do you not know about
corn in Wyoming? We got cowboys
and sheep.
Right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Sheep.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Whiskey at Work. I am the producer and host, Mark Houston, along with Rob Henry. Our shows are engineered by Chris Jaquist, and the video and audio editing is done by our own Russ Haddon. If you like what you hear, we would love a 5-star review wherever you rate your podcast, and leave us a comment as well. It's Whiskey at Work on the Home Slice Audio Network.